Thank you for joining me for worship today. Today is Reformation Sunday. Actually, Reformation Day was October the 31st, Friday. But we celebrate Reformation Sunday today. Our order of service is in the bulletin, begins in the bulletin. We're going to open right now with hymn number 627, To God Be the Glory, 399 in the red book, but we'll be singing just the two verses that are in the blue book. To God be the glory, great things he has done. So loved he the world that he gave us his Son, who yielded his life and atonement for sin, and opened the life gate that all may go in. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the earth hear his voice. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the people rejoice. Oh, come to the Father through Jesus the Son, and give him the glory, great things he has done. Great things he has taught us, great things he has done, and great our rejoicing through Jesus the Son. But purer and higher and greater will be our joy and our wonder when Jesus we see. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the earth hear his voice. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the people rejoice. Oh, come to the Father through Jesus the Son, and give him the glory, great things he has done. We worship in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins to God our Father, asking him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Almighty God, merciful Father, I confess that I am by nature sinful. I have disobeyed you and justly deserve your punishment, both now and in eternity. But I am truly sorry for the evil I have thought, spoken, and done. And for the sake of my Savior, Jesus Christ, I pray, Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner. Lord, have mercy on us. Christ, have mercy on us. Lord, have mercy on us. Now I ask you before God who searches the heart, do you confess your sins of thought, word, and deed? Are you sorry for your sins? Do you look to our Savior, Jesus Christ, for forgiveness? And with the Holy Spirit's help, do you want to correct your sinful life? Then declare so by saying yes. Upon this confession, I, as a called servant of the Word, announce to you God's grace and the forgiveness of sins. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our Old Testament reading for this Reformation Sunday is from Jeremiah chapter 31, verses 31 to 34. Here, the Lord, through Jeremiah, talks about the glory of the new covenant as opposed to the old covenant. And really, it's thinking about, comparing law and gospel, how the gospel and everything Jesus did for us so much better than the law. But of course, the law never was there as a way to get to heaven, because since the fall into sin, we can't keep the law. But the law showed us a need for our Savior and pointed us to the
the need for help, and that gospel message is where that help comes from. The time is coming, declares the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. It will not be like the covenant I made with their forefathers when I took them by the hand to lead them out of Egypt, because they broke my covenant, though I was a husband to them, declares the Lord. This is the covenant I will make with the house of Israel after that time, declares the Lord. I will put my law in their minds and write it on their hearts. I will be their God, and they will be my people. No longer will a man teach his neighbor or a man his brother, saying, "Know the Lord," because they will all know me, from the least of them to the greatest, declares the Lord. For I will forgive their wickedness and will remember their sins no more. Alleluia. Jesus said, "If you continue in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free." Alleluia. Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia. Our gospel reading is from John chapter 8, verses 31 to 36. Here Jesus says, as we heard in our verse there, how we need to hold to the teachings of Jesus, and that'll make us free. And of course, that means if we want to hold to those teachings, we need to search and study the scriptures so that we know those teachings. To the Jews who had believed him, Jesus said, "If you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciples. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." They answered him, "We are Abraham's descendants and have never been slaves of anyone. How can you say that we shall be set free?" Jesus replied, "I tell you the truth, everyone who sins is a slave to sin. Now a slave has no permanent place in the family, but a son belongs to it forever. So if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed." Let's sing our next hymn, hymn number 863, 200 in the Red Book, "A Mighty Fortress Is Our God."
A mighty fortress is our God, a trusty shield and weapon. He helps us free from every need that has us now or taken. The old evil foe now means deadly woe. Deep guile and great might are his dread arms in fight. On earth is not his equal. With might of ours cannot be done. Soon were our loss effected. But for us fights the valiant one, whom God himself elected. You ask, who is this? Jesus Christ it is, the Almighty Lord, and there's no other God. He holds the field forever. Though devils all the world should fill, all eager to devour us, we tremble not, we fear no ill. They shall not overpower us. This world's prince may still scowl fierce as he will. He can harm us none. He's judged, the deed is done. One little word can fell him. The word they still shall let remain, nor any thanks have for it. He's by our side upon the plain, with his good gifts and spirit. And take they our life, goods, fame, child, and wife. Though all may be gone, our victory is won. The kingdom's ours forever.
The grace and love of our Lord and Savior be with us always. Amen. The word of God we want to consider today is our epistle reading from Romans chapter 3, verses 19 to 28, where the Apostle Paul was inspired to write, "Now we know that whatever the law says, it says to those who are under the law, so that every mouth may be silenced and the whole world held accountable to God. Therefore, no one will be declared righteous in his sight by observing the law. Rather, through the law, we become conscious of sin. And now a righteousness from God, apart from law, has been made known, to which the law and the prophets testify. This righteousness from God comes through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe. There is no difference, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, and are justified freely by his grace through the redemption that came by Christ Jesus. God presented him as a sacrifice of atonement through faith in his blood. He did this to demonstrate his justice, because in his forbearance he had left the sins committed beforehand unpunished. He did it to demonstrate his justice at the present time, so as to be just and the one who justifies those who have faith in Jesus. Where then is boasting? It is excluded. On what base? On what principle? On that of observing the law? No, but on that of faith. For we maintain that a man is justified by faith apart from observing the law." Let's bow our heads for prayer. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, who art our strength and our salvation. Amen. My dear brothers and sisters in Christ, what is the big festival that is celebrated at this time of year every year? If children are allowed to answer that question, I would kind of imagine that many or most of the children would end up saying Halloween. And that's because, last week they had their costumes and probably went trick-or-treating. Maybe they went to a Halloween party. If you went shopping in the last couple of months, especially the last month, when you went to the store, what did you see? All kinds of Halloween decorations and the stores stocked with Halloween candy and decorations and pumpkins and costumes that were for the Halloween season. But it was all around us. It definitely is a big festival, a big holiday at the end of October. However, we Christians, we Lutherans in particular, have a festival at this time of year that is much more significant to us than is Halloween. And that festival is more than just getting candy after you've said trick or treat, filling up your bag with candy. It's something so much more than that. The Lutheran festival that we celebrate, of course, is Reformation. But why do we celebrate the Reformation? Well, on October 31st of 1517, what Martin Luther did is he posted his 95 theses or statements on the castle church door in Wittenberg, Germany. He posted those 95 theses because he knew that his church had shifted away from the scriptures, and he didn't want to quit his church. He just wanted his church to get back to the Bible. But when he presented his theses to the church didn't want to listen. The church didn't want to change its ways. And because it wouldn't change and wouldn't go back to the scriptures, well, that's why the day that Luther posted those 95 theses on the castle church door, why it's considered the birth date of the Lutheran church. God used Luther to get the Bible back to the church members so that the Holy Spirit could work through God's word to call people to faith and to strengthen their faith. So again, that question, why do we celebrate the Reformation? Because it reminds us of the law's real purpose, and it reveals to us the gospel's real glory. The Apostle Paul, who wrote this letter to the Roman Christians, his experiences in life were actually kind of similar to those of Martin Luther. Before Luther knew the glorious gospel message, he thought he was failing, of course, but he was trying to earn his way to heaven by his deeds. Before Paul was called to the faith, he was a Pharisee who thought that he was keeping God's law. He thought he was doing a decent job. So he thought he was doing a good enough job so that ultimately he'd end up being able to go to heaven. He misunderstood God's law so much that he even persecuted Christians. But then when Paul went to Damascus to try to persecute Christians there, to try to arrest them and bring them back for trial, well, when he did that, our Lord called him to faith in Jesus and also called him to be an apostle, to be a witness, especially to the Gentile peoples, to preach Christ crucified. The Holy Spirit revealed to Paul the glory of the gospel and the only way to heaven. Both Paul and Luther had been depending on the law, as I said, though Paul maybe thought he was doing okay, Luther thought he was failing. But then the Holy Spirit brought them to the gospel to show them what Christ did for them and also for us. So many people try to use the law to gain heaven. Most non-Christian religions, if they believe in a life after death, teach that by your deeds you end up getting to that better place. They teach a salvation or a getting to a better place anyway by works. And sad to say, there are so many so-called Christians today, Christian religions, that teach that a person is saved by keeping the law. They fall back on a basic humanism, be the best person you can be, instead of focusing on Jesus the Savior. But now, if we can't get to heaven by following the law, what is the law's purpose? Paul says, now we know that whatever the law says, it says to those who are under the law, so that every mouth may be silenced and the whole world held accountable to God. Well, first off, all people are under God's law since we are all made by God. No one is above the law. So when we look at God's law and when we compare our lives with what God wants of us, well, we should see that we are sinners, that we have failed to do what God wants. We have failed to live up to God's standards, and we'll come to realize how miserably we fail to keep God's law if we understand that it's not just the deeds, but sin is there in our hearts and our minds when we think sinful thoughts, when those thoughts even start creeping into our minds. We break God's law not only with sinful deeds, but also with sinful thoughts and words. And so the law, it silences us. It tells us we can't boast about ourselves and our deeds, which are continually contaminated by sin. And God's law, what it does is it reminds us that we're accountable to God for our all too many times when we break His law. I've heard people who have praised their pastor for condemning other sinners. Such a person may say something like this: "Pastor, you did a real good job in the sermon today, preaching against those murderers and adulterers and thieves." Well, if a person ever hears a sermon or ever listens to God's word and has that kind of an attitude where he's thinking, "Yeah, go after those other people who are the sinners," well, then actually, if that's the case, we've kind of joined the Pharisee in Jesus' parable who said, "God, I thank you that I'm not like other men, robbers, evildoers, adulterers, or even this tax collector." When we hear God's law, I need to see that I am a sinner, and you need to see that you are a sinner as well. Paul says, "There is no difference, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." He also said, "Therefore, no one will be declared righteous in God's sight by observing the law. Rather, through the law, we become conscious of sin." Since you and I are sinners, we dare not look at others and think that we're better than they are. When the scribes and the Pharisees brought that adulterous woman to Jesus, Jesus said to them, "Let him who is without sin cast the first stone." The scribes and the Pharisees' accusations against that woman were correct, and she did need to be corrected. She did need the law preached to her. Our God does want us to correct those who have sinned and fallen away from God, who have fallen into sin. But the fact is that that woman didn't need to be corrected by those who thought that they were sinless and better than everyone else. See, it's not our job to look down on others. We have our own sins. And because of those sins, we deserve punishment. The Apostle Paul said, "The wages of sin is death." And that means, of course, both physical and spiritual, eternal death. Let us thank our gracious God for sending Jesus into the world to take care of the death that we deserve to die. So what is the purpose of God's law? Well, it's to show me my sinfulness, to show you your sinfulness. The law, it gives us no reason to boast about our deeds and our accomplishments. God's law, what it does, if we understand God's law correctly, if we give ourselves a false view of that law by thinking it's only those actual deeds that are sin, well, those actual deeds are the sins are there in our lives. But when we see God's law, actually it humbles us and shows us how desperately we need a Savior. God's law, what it also does is it helps to break down or hinder the coarse outbreaks of sin in our world. You see, all people have God's law in their consciences, and our consciences do help to hinder some of the sin and rebellion against God that's in the world. Unfortunately, though, because of sin, our consciences, they don't always give us the right picture, the completely right picture of what's right and wrong. Because of sin, we can't always clearly distinguish the right and the wrong. But then for us as Christians, the law has one more purpose, and that is to serve as a guide for us on how God wants us to live. He gives us a guide for how we'll want a guideline for us, guiding us in our lives as the believing children of God that we are. It tells us God's law so that it tells us the direction in which God wants us to go. Of course, again, remember, when we see how we follow it, it's going to show us our sin. Well, as a young man, Martin Luther, he didn't know the gospel, really. He didn't know the glory of the gospel. The gospel was hidden for so many people back in his time. And because of that, Luther, like so many others, was absolutely afraid of God and was absolutely convinced that he was going to burn and rot in hell. But then what happened is he ended up going into the monastery, and then there was an old monk, John Staupitz, who pointed Luther to the Bible. God used Staupitz to point Luther to the Bible. And the Holy Spirit worked through the Bible that he studied and he taught to the students at Wittenberg so that he ended up seeing the glories of the gospel. And one passage the Holy Spirit may have especially used to show Luther the glory of the gospel may have been words that are in our reading for today. Those words, "But now a righteousness from God apart from law has been made known, to which the law and the prophets testify. This righteousness from God comes through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe." That message took such a load off of Luther. It proclaimed a righteousness or a sinlessness, not that God demanded of us, but that doesn't depend on our keeping the law. That righteousness or that sinlessness, it comes from God and is given to you and to me through faith. The law and the prophets, that refers to the Old Testament that gives that beautiful proclamation of the gospel. Sometimes people picture the Old Testament as the law and the New Testament as the gospel, but law and gospel are throughout the entire Bible. But the Old Testament has so many such beautiful gospel presentations, such as when Isaiah tells us, "Surely Jesus took up our infirmities and carried our sorrows. Yet we considered him stricken by God, smitten by him and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgression. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him, and by his wounds we are healed." Jesus did it all for us. He did everything for our salvation, and that's the glory of the gospel. What makes that gospel so wonderful is the fact that God gives us the benefits of Christ's life and death and resurrection by grace through faith. Our salvation, it doesn't depend on what we do. It depends on God's grace, his love for us, which you and I can in no way earn or deserve. And that thought right there gave Luther the greatest comfort, because when he looked at himself, he saw that heaven would be impossible for him. But when he looked to God, when he looked to Jesus, the Savior, then he saw his salvation as something that was absolutely guaranteed. God in His grace sends the Holy Spirit to us to make us believers and to work faith in our hearts and to illustrate that salvation is through faith. Paul says, God presented Jesus as a sacrifice of atonement to demonstrate His justice because in His forbearance, He had left the sins committed beforehand unpunished. He did it to demonstrate His justice at the present time so as to be just and the one who justifies those who have faith in Jesus. Old Testament believers who died went to heaven before their sins in time were officially paid for, before Jesus actually died on the cross. They were saved through faith in what Christ would do. And that fact proves or gives evidence to us that salvation is by faith. We are saved through faith in what Christ did. Our God, He's just. And since He wants us in heaven, He had to send Jesus to end up actually paying for our sins so that our sins would be paid for in full. Well, the main purpose of the law then again is to show us our sin. And none of us enjoys hearing about our sinfulness, but we always need to keep God's law right there before us so we never forget how sinful we are and how much we need our Savior. When by God's grace we see our sinfulness and how much we need our Savior, then through faith, the glory of the gospel really shines out. When you realize how desperate you were for God's grace and love and the forgiveness of sins, and then you know you have it, well, how wonderful a blessing that is. Thank God that we can see how much we need Jesus, and then we can see Jesus as our Savior. That's why the gospel, the good news of our salvation, is so glorious and wonderful to us. Well, now again, we celebrate the Reformation because, well, before the Reformation, the gospel was largely hidden. Sin and unbelief, they still want to hide the gospel today. But over 500 years ago, God used Luther and the Reformation to get that gospel message out again. And today God is using you and me to get that gospel message out. Let's thank our God that through the Reformation, what God does is He reveals to us the real purpose of the law, not as a way to earn heaven, but to show us our sin, to show us our need for help. And let's be especially thankful that through the Reformation, He helps us to see the glory of the gospel, to see Jesus as the Savior who's done everything to pay for our sins and to win for us heaven. Let's thank our God that He has revealed to us, as He did to Martin Luther and to the Apostle Paul, thank God that He's revealed to us our world's real problem, that's sin. And He's also revealed to us the solution, and that's Jesus. Everything that the gospel tells us about Him, by the grace of God, we know and rejoice that even though the wages of sin is death, yet the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, shall keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. Let's confess our faith with the Nicene Creed. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, was incarnate of the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and became fully human. For our sake he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day he rose again in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended to heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who in unity with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Let's pray. Lord, our refuge and strength, pour out your Holy Spirit on your faithful people. Keep them steadfast in your word. Protect and comfort them in all temptations. Defend them against all their enemies, and bestow on the church your saving peace. We pray through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. And Lord God, we keep in our prayers, we think of all those on our prayer list, and of course, we think of Forrest Ripley and Deb Spitzley and Christine Dreese and Paula Burris and, Linda Hazzi and Diane Kennedy and Roberta Waldron and Mary Glassbrook, Colleen Webb, and so many people in our congregation dealing with different aches and pains and trials and troubles. But as we pray for all these people, help us to always have that joy in knowing the wonderful message of the glory of the gospel, which says, we can look to Jesus and trust in him to take care of us and to get us through this life to be with you forever. And if it's his will, he'll take care of life's trials and troubles and aches and pains, but he'll always give us the help that we need so that we can look forward to the joys of heaven. And because of those great blessings from our God, we gather up all of the prayers we have today as we join in praying. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look on you with favor and give you his peace. Amen. Let's join in singing our prayer for our country. God bless America, land that I love. Stand beside her and guide her through the night with a light from above. From the mountains to the prairies to the oceans, white with foam. God bless America, my home, sweet home.
sweet home.
And for Reformation Day, it's appropriate that we'd also close with God's Word is our great heritage, hymn 640 or 293 in the Red Book.
God's Word is our great heritage, and shall be ours forever, to spread its light from age to age, shall be our chief endeavor. Through life it guides our way, in death it is our stay. Lord, grant while worlds endure, we keep its teachings pure. Throughout all generations. Amen.
Thank you again for joining me for worship today. Just a couple quick announcements to share with you. Today, Sunday, is Marianne Plotty and Aunt Plotty and Deb Spitzley's birthdays. Monday is Calvary's 62nd anniversary. And next Sunday, between church services, we're planning a potluck brunch where we can celebrate with a little bit of food and fellowship the anniversary of our church. Wednesday is Luke Christmas's birthday, Friday Caleb Norder, and Saturday is Emily Fritz's and Kelly Christmas's birthday. In the congregation this week, a regular schedule. Look at the bulletin for that. Look at the bulletin for all of the people that you'll want to keep in your prayers. Again, thank you for joining me for worship today. Happy Reformation Sunday. God bless.